What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Anybody who thinks that I'm okay with just being an average basketball on an average basketball team is insane. Take whatever I said, I still stand on it, but it doesn't mean that you're not in a situation where you're trying to get better, make appropriate moves that help you do that. Mike knows that. We've talked about it. That's the expectation for me, trying to help lead the team where we want to go. Again, that doesn't mean that you're reckless. What people's definition of that is what I was talking about, the Twitter fingers thing. Like, trade machines are fun, but what does that actually look like? So we're going to handle our business. Mike's going to handle his. See where we end up.
That's Stephen Curry last night, as we say, oh baby, oh baby, oh baby, oh baby, on this Thursday morning, and the Warriors get a much needed win. And what a 24 hours it has been. I'm with the 510. Come on, y'all. Stay consistent and pick a lane. When we lose, blow it up. When we win, internal optimist. Internal optimism. Which is it? Which is it? Which is it? Where they're 20-20 right now, and they have 8 of the next 9 at home. We're going to find out a lot about this basketball team as they try to get healthier and healthier and healthier and get this thing rolling here. But the Warriors got a much needed win last night in Minnesota. Shasky, 116-115. Curry, 30 goes for 30. He scores 31. He makes 7 threes, including a dagger in the corner. Looking back at the Corsair fans who were chirping, Wiggins was solid. I thought Gee Santos, TJD, GP2, Moody, all down the list. Buddy Hield scored 18. And when he scores 18, the Warriors are 10-0. Maybe that's a barometer, but they get a much-needed win to calm the waters. But the question is, Shasky, is that just a blip on the radar? Is this a mirage? Is this just one game, an outlier? Where are you at after last night? Don't you got a pep in your step?
Well, yeah, and they deserve a lot of credit for everybody blasting them for 2 days and then them playing inspired basketball and somehow finishing that game, even though it was ugly. You get credit for the win. It was a huge win on the road, but... Like, the question that you asked on the front end, whoever texted in, whatever you were alluding, like, pick a lane, which that's literally the exercise we've been asking ourselves with this team all year. We've been banging our head against the wall all year saying, what are they? Who are they? The team that blows leads and loses horrifically? Mm-hmm. Are they the team that can beat a Minnesota multiple times? You tell me. I don't know. Like, And I watch this for a living, and I watch it as a fan, and I've been watching it my entire life, and I have zero idea what to make of this team.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of sports, number one. And number two, it's also, these are the giant questions that have been looming over this organization for a long time. So what is it? We don't even know. I don't even think they know.
I think they know, and I think they're working on something. And the reason why I think they know is because of what they tried to do this past summer. Which people say, oh man, you can't complete a trade. Trades are hard and everybody else is making trades. Well, do you just, honestly, fans, aren't you happy that they didn't trade for Paul George and give him a max deal? Aren't you happy they didn't give up the farm for Lowry Marketing? I get it. We all want more wins. We want championship contention. We want to be out of the box. Trust me. I want playoff basketball in the Bay Area probably more than anybody out here. I love the playoffs. The NBA playoffs are one of my favorites. I'm a sucker for it. I want the playoffs back in the Bay. There's no doubt about that. But this organization, if you think Mike Dunleavy on this team, knowing that the clock is ticking on Steph Curry's career, on Steve Kerr's possibly career with the Warriors, Draymond Green's getting older, he's 34 years old with back issues. You got Joe Lacob as an owner who's maniacal about winning and sitting courtside watching every single move. Tickets are sky high. Thrive City's booming. Do you really think that they're just going to sit there and they're twiddling their thumbs saying, should we call this team or not? Are we trying to make a move? Trust the process. They're trying to make moves. It takes two to tango. Haven't we learned this already? Why do we keep going back to this? It takes two to tango. So I do believe this team is trying to make moves. Now, what do those moves look like? I don't know if they're a big, splashy move. But can you fill in the margins? Can you get guys who could help you play a different role? Maybe. We'll see. We shall see. But I highly doubt that this team doesn't have a direction. They're trying to figure it out, saying, okay, if we mortgage things now, how does it look as opposed to the summertime and just play this thing out? There's a lot on the table, but it's not for a lack of trying with this organization. I can guarantee that.
Agreed. Simultaneously, we don't give out credit for trying.
No, you don't.
You know where I'm going with this.
Well, like, the Giants are notorious for doing that, and they don't get the credit.
Yeah.
But I've seen the Warriors be aggressive for over a decade.
Well, they've earned the equity, right? They've earned the equity. And it's pretty funny to me, and this is why we reference them almost like the Yankees. Like, boy, that title just in 2022 feels like a forever ago for some of these fans. Does it not? Why are you shaking your head?
I guess it does. Yeah, I mean, I remember it. It was a great time. It was a great time.
If I polled Warrior fans in terms of satisfaction, within 3 years, that thing has dissipated. Has it not?
But that's fan. That fan, what does the guru always say? Fan is short for fanatic.
No, but I think it's with this team after that decade. Like, if it was a one title, if 2021 or 2022 was a one-off, like, I think it would be different. The fact that they kept winning and they've won with different iterations of this Warrior team, I do think that has, like, totally blinded all of us to everything about how easy it is and how quickly and how long this can go.
But also, I see with the football team, the 49ers. The same people were like, get rid of Shanahan. He can't win with a loaded roster. And I'm thinking to myself, well, he helped build the loaded roster. Without Shanahan and Lynch, you wouldn't have had this roster.
I think the rhetoric around him would be different had he won one.
But still, but you get what I'm saying, though?
Yeah, yeah, like, I do.
They built the roster brick by brick. And the Niners are loaded. They've had a number of primetime games, big games, playoff games, home playoff games, road playoff games, you name it. And the fans traveled the 49ers everywhere. Everywhere. And the writer goes, you go 6-11, time to clean house. So
that's also the nature of football.
So fans sometimes get a little bit, when we talk about patience, the word of the day. Fans can tend to be a little impatient. But I get it.
But there are also, like, and I agree with you, but there are also, like, a huge segment of what I call, like, delusional homers.
There are.
Farhan Zaidi has a war of people tweeting positivity about him online. And it's just like,
the rankings
just came out. They have the worst farm system in baseball.
Yeah, I tell you what.
I mean, how could you support this guy?
Buster Posey is fighting an uphill climb because of the lack of activity in free agency. We'll see. I was asking you guys yesterday, sell me on the 2025 Giants. And at this moment, I think it's a very hard sell. It's a very hard sell. Now, Bryce Eldridge, sell me on that. I want to see him in the opening day lineup.
We'll talk about that later. But you get where I'm going. Like, you could find little pockets of unbelievable love and unreal hate.
Oh, no doubt.
And trust me, there's always way more hate.
In person, outside of social media, there's a lot more love for the Warriors.
Yeah, there's...
At Daniel Lurie's inauguration last week at City Hall, I ran into a lot of Warrior fans who were like, no, I believe in this team. They're going to turn this thing around. They're going to turn it... A lot of fans.
Because they're reasonable. Because they've realized, like, we're pretty lucky.
Cool.
What?
Steph Curry was talking yesterday.
Wait, what was that sound you just played?
Do you believe? What was that from?
I think the Warriors had a big win at some point this season, and you said...
Do you believe?
Almost 20 years. We believe.
Oh, my God. It has been almost 20 years.
Look at your eyes.
No, it was 07? 06, 07?
Yeah. That's a year or two.
It's a long time.
I mean, it's crazy.
That is crazy.
Grade for me.
It makes me very uncomfortable.
But think about that.
Bonte wants all the smoke, by the way.
But think about this, though. Think about this. I could use a little smoky smoke. Think about this. I'm kidding, folks. Oh, I'm sorry. No. That's their podcast. Matt Barnes and Steve Stack Jack. I'm just there to listen. they're not going to get me to say some things that'll get me fired.
That, like, that team, which was, like, filled with a bunch of players no one wanted. Like, one guy runs a pot company, Al Harrington. The other guy's doing podcast with Draymond, Baron Davis, and then Stack Jack and Matt Barnes are like media darlings. Like, if you would have told me that 18 years ago, I'd be like, hey, get out of here.
But I'm glad we're going to get to the calls of Justice Harrigan.
That was 20
But think about that team. It took a move, and Stack Jack and Al Harrington weren't superstars.
Yeah, but we wanted, I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you.
They wanted Dunleavy
out. Fan base wanted Troy Murphy and Dunleavy the hell on out of here.
But think about that trade,
though. And your boy Mully, a lot of people wanted Mullins' head on a pyre.
Yeah, they did.
They were mad at him.
Think about that. Think about that. They made a move because, yeah, you're right. People did want Murphy and Dunleavy out. But you traded for some guys who are not quote-unquote superstars. Al Harris had a stack jacket. Stack Jack had a lot of baggage to him. But that trade flipped the fortunes of the Golden State Warriors. And they were able to advance to the second round of the playoffs and go to the playoffs and play, participate in the playoff series for the first time since 94. It took a shrewd move like that. And we may see a move like this year in the next few weeks.
I've watched a lot of Warrior basketball. And that final 2 months with Dunleavy, every time he touched the ball, he was getting booed. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, he could turn those boos into cheers with a nice shrewd move. And I think Dudley has done a good job so far. So let's get to the lines, man. 888-957-9570. Start with Donna in Richmond. Donna, good morning.
Hi, Donna.
How are you?
Good morning. I just love you guys' show. Okay, you had asked what the win do for us. I said do for me last night. And I'm like, it's about time we won a game. But it seems to me that they're missing the spark of Kuminga. Yeah. I think Kuminga has this spark that just makes the other guys just play really, really hard. Mm-hmm. And I'm missing and waiting for him to come back to the game. But I'm really, really glad that we won last night. It's about time.
I do love that. Kuminga will be back. He ditched the walking boot. So Slater was talking to us yesterday, Donna. Thank you for the phone call. They are missing Jonathan Kuminga. His attacks to the basket, straight line drives, ability to get to the free throw line and just dunk on your head. And he was coming around, being more selective with his three-point shooting. There's no doubt they miss Kuminga in his athleticism. Let's go to BPA. BPA, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Morning, guys. Yeah, I think there's just such a cavernous gap between, you know, the Warrior fans on Twitter who are, let's move on. Yeah, Steph, I'm a Warrior fan from, you know, the 80s and 90s. I don't need Steph here. Move on. And then there's the Warrior fans on Twitter that are obviously like, hey, let's get him some help, right? Like, and I think my take on it is, from that point of view, I believe more in what Steph can do with any help. So the Timberwolves were top-locking him full court last night. Like, it's insane. Like, that's nobody in the NBA ever has been top-locked for whatever, 94 feet or whatever the court is. And so when you give a guy like that with that kind of gravity any help, I believe more in what the outcome can be than what Dunleavy and Lacob can do. Mike Dunleavy is just a guy from the early 2000s who was an awful Warrior, hated it here. So far, he's been not a good GM, if you look at his decisions. Right? You trade Poole for CP3, you let his contract expire. You don't even offer Clay an extension, you let his contract expire. And then Buddy Hield, Kyle Anderson, and Melton. Like, there's no evidence at this point that Mike Dunleavy Jr. is like a competent GM. So I believe more in what Steph could do with some help than what Lacob and Dunleavy can do in a post-Steph era. And that opinion is shared by most Warrior fans.
In real life?
In real life, of course. Like, you know, like the guys that built the Warrior championship teams in the front office, they're gone. They are gone. They are not in the building. And that's why when you said they deserve benefit of the doubt or they deserve grace, yes, Jerry West, Bob Myers, and those guys, yes, they do deserve those things. They aren't here anymore. And so I believe more in what you could, if you give Steph any help, even a Vukovic, I think would be a great fit here. And they just don't want to do anything. That's my take. I don't believe Dunleavy can get a deal done. I don't know if he doesn't want to do it or if he just isn't capable of doing it. I just don't believe in him, and there's no evidence.
What can Dunleavy do to make you believe in his efforts as a GM of the Golden State Warriors? Because I disagree with you. I think he's done a solid job so far. But what can he do to win you over, BPA? Is it a monster trade? Is it a trade for a star? Is it to get this team in the top six?
He doesn't have to do anything to win me over. They don't care. I mean, Lacob, dumb.
Wait, BPA. You believe that Joe Lacob and Mike Dunleavy do not care about winning?
I think that they have been disingenuous and teasing trade after trade after trade for 2 years. Every trade, every big name, they have purposely put their name in the mix. And I don't know. I don't have any evidence to believe that they're...
Aren't you happy that he traded for Paul George and Larry Markkanen? Paul George is awful. That would have been a terrible deal, giving him a max contract. That would have been awful. Awful, awful, awful. That's organizational suicide right there if you do that move, PPA.
I don't know. I haven't been looking at Paul George's box scores all that often.
No, I watch the games. It ain't about the box score.
So he's that bad. He's like, so like, you know, Pods and Buddy Anderson or Heald Anderson, those guys are just a better option, you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying with the cap space that was limited to the Warriors, those are probably the only moves that you could make.
I think his overarching theme is they do need to go get another couple of bodies.
There's no doubt.
And it doesn't have to be a frontline player. And yes, it trades are hard and things take time and all that. But I get the tug and pull of where he's coming from. I do. And I do understand.
I don't subscribe to that. I don't subscribe to Dunleavy and Lacob do not care.
I don't.
They're okay. Well, that might be a little strong.
That's what kind of led to the back end of that conversation. Yes, and that would be a little strong. But I would say that, you know, we all, again, going back to the impatience, Steph is 30, what is he, 37, 38?
He's 36.
Okay, 36.
He'll be 37 March 14th.
Okay, so he's 37. So it's not like we've got a lot of time.
No, they don't have a lot of time.
So every month makes it harder for this year, you know, to do something. And then next year, he's 37, turning 38. And so, like, there is a sense of urgency. It's not like he's 32.
But here's what we have to grasp is that sort of like baseball, when you add playoff spots, more teams are now, quote unquote, in it, mm-hmm. into a playoff race. So that will make more teams hesitant to say, you know what, are we buyers or sellers? Well, actually, don't know. We're still in the race. Maybe we're buyers. And wait, it's not a buyer's market. It's a seller's market. Pardon me. With the play-in, and teams having this hope that, oh, maybe we can make the play-in and make a run and enter the playoffs and get into the top six. Mm-hmm. That play-in tournament has now added teams to the equation, and maybe more teams are saying to themselves, well, we don't necessarily need to trade. We're in the play-in tournament. Let's just ride this out, not trade, and get into the play-in to see what happens. Now you got more teams who are trying to qualify for the playoffs, and I think we're going to find out over the next few years how that impacts the trade deadline, but I think there's something there because we see it in baseball. More teams are in it. How many teams are now hesitant to trade top prospects for a bat? You know, we've seen this the last few years in baseball. Trades have been hard in Major League Baseball at the deadline because I think they've added teams to the wild card mix.
Yeah, but like, I think when we look at like the big movers, like those are different conversations, right? We're looking to like shore up around the edges. And so I think to most people's opinions, like throw in the second and third second rounder and just sweeten the deal. And instead of waiting the 4 weeks, throw it in. That's their impression. That's the impression that they have. And you're counter to like these teams think they're in the mix. I mean, do the 18 and 23, I'm using them as an example. The 18 and 23 Chicago Bulls think they're in the mix.
They are playing in the play-in. They made the play-in. And Reinsdorf is delusional. Reinsdorf is a delusional owner.
I guess that's where I would counter, like, all right, well, then throw in a couple of more seconds.
And Billy Donovan, but we don't know what Chicago wants.
No, I understand.
You know what I'm saying?
Give and take. I know.
Like the Warriors,
but that's the Warrior fan thought is just throw more random picks. Like, that's the way the fan views it.
The first day they were eligible, it was okay to trade for guys. They traded for Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah, it was a good trade. I think it was a good trade.
So they're looking, and now so far that deal
is hurt. The deal, who can play.
Yeah, the deal hasn't worked out in the Warriors' favor so far.
It's been all right.
But they've tried to flip it on the margins. So now you got other assets here, and you got a plethora of free agents coming up here. A lot of free agents on the team, unrestricted free agents. They've got a lot of flexibility in terms of moving some of these guys for a player who can help them now on the margins. So who does, like, unless we're in this war room with them, unless we're living at Chase Center, or we have bugs inside the building, listening to every conversation when it comes to Mike Dunleavy, Joe Lacob, Steve Kerr, Stephen Curry, we have no idea what they're doing down there. So I think it's a little reckless to say they're not trying to improve the team around the margins. I think everything is on the table for this organization. Everything.
I agree, but you can't say that for two straight years and come up short. At some point, fans are like, dude, what? Like, I don't care about your assets. Like, I get everything you're saying, and I understand it sounds reckless, but I also understand from the fan perspective, if you're targeted with all these different people and you come up empty-handed, at some point it just gets exhausting.
But also, your cap has been messed up. You haven't had the financial flexibility to make said moves. And all of a sudden, you get under the money. Now everybody's like, oh, man, you let Chris Paul walk for free, which we knew would be a shot. But we also understood by letting him walk, you're getting under the tax.
I know, but you're not paying luxury tax dollars. You and I care about the cap like we do. And you know I study it on all the sports. I love the money of it. The average fan doesn't care. Like, they don't care about that.
Well, that's why I'm here to educate them that they should care about that stuff. And this is why it hinders them from making said moves.
I know, but like, when you're.
But that's just it.
But realistically.
So like, I'm not going to cater to the fans.
Kids to the game, yeah. You're not like walking in, you know, spending what people spend, and they're sitting there going, oh, got to get under the cap. Like, that's just not how a fan thinks.
No, they don't think that, but that's what they were doing.
No, I understand that.
You know what I'm saying? That. So let's take Leroy in Oakland. Leroy, what's happening?
Hey, what's up? What's up, guys?
What's up, Leroy?
Enjoying the show as usual. And I just wanted to say that, you know, what the Warriors did for me last night as a fan, they kept me at 500. I'm feeling at 500. I'm feeling,
I like it.
As a fan, 20 and 20. You know, I've decided to, Shasky, you know, you liked the term I used last week. You know, we rocking back and forth. The boat is rocking back and forth where I'm fourth today, right? I don't know what's going to happen, you know, today or tomorrow. I might be back, but this is where the Warriors are, rocking back and forth. And last night, it just shows me that, you know, like you're saying, B, you know, we can bring in somebody that's not, you know, necessarily a star. Like, I've been telling you guys, I like, you know, Jakob Poeltl from Toronto, right? Who made a big difference in that game the other
big
night,
block.
Man. I mean, he was 13 points. He was 13 rebounds, right? And so, you know, guys like that, that's available. I even threw around, people think we need a shooting guard. I threw around Josh Giddey from Chicago. He's 22 years old. He's young. He can help now and in the future. I know the money is crazy, but if people think we look at a shooting guard, look at somebody like that. But for the Warriors, what they can do to help themselves, being Shasky, is stop taking so many bad shots in the fourth quarter, passing up two-point shots, passing up drives to the hole for three-pointers. I was looking in that Toronto game, and I think it was like four and some change minutes left, and they took seven shots, and six of them were three-pointers, and they only made two.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, help yourself. We looking for help. We want help, but do the little things to help yourself right now. And then bring in somebody like a Poeltl, guys that doesn't have the big names, but are that consistent, right? Because Vujicic had like 13 points, 12 rebounds last night. So you can get guys that it doesn't cost a lot to come in and help this team out. And so, but yeah, I'm rocking back and forth, Shasky.
I like
it. I'm up today on the Warriors. Well, I'm up.
But you got to realize, though, when we talk about all these trades, again, it takes two to tango.
Well, I mean, but it takes two got like to tango. Nine wins or whatever.
Huh?
Toronto's out of it. They got like nine wins. Yes, it takes two to tango, but they're not
I'm
a
talking
team
about
that
executing trades. Executing trades. But they signed their young players, Emmanuel Quickley and Scotty Barnes, are long term deals.
Yeah.
RJ Barrett, they traded for last year. They're going to build around them. They're going to get a top five pick. This is a lost year for them. They have Grady Dick, the young man out of Kansas who's in his second year. They're rebuilding, and they're like, look, we made our moves last year. Now we have these young players. We're going to watch these young players grow and see what we have a year from now. That's Toronto.
Well, I want to react to Josh Giddey. It's an interesting actual suggestion. Let's talk about it on the other side.
Josh Giddey, huh?
He can't shoot. The guy is, I like his game, though. I do like his game.
All right.
I don't know what he is. He's a restricted free agent. Like, I don't know. Let's talk about it.
That's coming up, brought to you by LifeSource Water System.
So the Tribe drops its third straight on this trip, 6-1 to the Rangers. For the Indians, one run on, let's say, one hit. That's all we got. One damn hit.
can't say damn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Fonte and Shasky.
Rest in peace, Bob Uecker passed away at the age of 90 today. That's, of course, from the movie Major League. And when I hear that beat, what is it, Pin the Fever? Crank it up. Crank it up. Crank it up. Because I feel like we're in the midst of this with the Golden State Warriors. We're going down this road, folks. They're 20-20. It's been turbulent. 40 games, it felt like 80 games this season. But we're just in the mid. We're in mid-January. We haven't got to the deadline yet. We haven't got to the All-Star break. But it feels like when I'm walking down the street, there's a local construction worker. Hey, Bonte, the Warriors stink. Who are these guys? Then you got the guys who are laying the court out, the panels, the Asian guys that are saying, they, whatever, they're speaking in Japanese, and they're saying, hey, Bonte, this team needs to get it together. And I'm saying, yes, they do. But damn it, they got a big win yesterday, and I'm back on board. I'm all in because the God, Chef Curry, cranked the beat, told everybody on Twitter to chill.
All the Twitter fingers who's got deals that we need to make can kind of just shut up a little bit and let us figure this thing out. Like, we know we can be competitive, and we showed, you know, that toughness tonight. Obviously, every team is trying to find ways to get better, and for us, we've been great for a very long time. This is just a unique year where we have to be able to stay relevant and give ourselves a chance and just have some life in a playoff series, and we have a whole lot of confidence that we can, you know, beat anybody. So, that's it.
You hear that from this Chef, he has the confidence that could beat anybody. Just get me in a damn playoff series. That's right, we're 40 games in. 40 games in. 8 of the next 9 at home. The Wizards on deck. And you know what? You beat the Wizards. You have one game over 500. And then you get the Martin Luther King Jr. special 2 o'clock at Chase Center against the Celtics. So all they do is bomb threes. Hey, maybe there's a chance they go on a 3-game winning streak. Who the hell knows? But this is what I'm talking about, Warrior fans. The adversity. Who can withstand the adversity? Who's going to jump off the boat and say, I quit, I'm done? Or who's going to buck up, strap up their seatbelts, roll up their sleeves, and ride with this damn organization that brought you 4 championships? I like this stuff. It builds character, Spadoni. It shows who the real is, and it shows who the fake are. And Steph Curry talking to the casuals yesterday, telling them, shut up. Stop with your fake trades and your Twitter fingers. Keep it moving, son. We got this. That's from the chef himself. I injected all into my veins.
They got a win last night. If they win on Saturday, that would be 2 in a row.
Ooh.
That's what we call a winning streak.
Talk to me, Spadoni.
Does this?
It has happened. It can happen again.
Does this make me Randy Quaid in Major League 2?
He's the best.
He is so good. Wild Thing, you make my butt sting.
It's so good.
Hilarious.
He's
dude.
Like, he is the fan. Like, when I think of, like,
100%.
Fans, it's Randy Quaid in Major
and
League
then,
2.
And then when Rick Vaughn actually, like, puts the glasses on with the haircut, and he tells him to go shove it, as I try to go PG here, he's like, what? He's back! It's the best.
The meme of him saying they'll blow it in the playoffs is just me every time.
They'll blow it.
He's the best.
And that's what Warrior fans are saying right now. Oh, they're going to blow it next game. Oh, last night in the fourth quarter, oh, they're going to blow this game. They're not going to win this game. They're going to blow it. To hell with that. Positivity. Positive mind frame 2025. What's up?
Is this considered you being optimistic, or are we, I'm just from the book of Bonte, is this flip-flopping?
Flip-flopping on what? I'm saying anything.
Just the temperature of the fan base.
I'm just saying, you know what it is, honestly?
It's oscillating like a pendulum back and forth.
Honestly, when I left the show yesterday, inside I was smiling.
Okay.
I was smiling.
Why were you smiling?
Because I get excited about this stuff.
Inside
Out is a great movie.
It's a
part
classic.
Part one and two. Sometimes I'm like the angry emotion, right? I'm just... Well,
I thought you were patient.
I am patient, too. I get angry sometimes.
All right, you guys, let's listen up. We won a game yesterday.
Yep, sure did.
We win one today, that's 2 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak. Mm. It has happened before.
Mm.
So let's see some hustle. Let's jack it up a little. I got a feeling things are about to turn around for us.
I have a feeling maybe it just may turn around for the Golden State Warriors after hearing Steph Curry last night tell everybody to put down your Twitter fingers, you twidiots.
What if
you damn twidiots.
Ended up being the more patient one. Said, can we see this week? Before I make a grandiose opinion.
Yeah, you can be that.
Can we make that.
I'm not making an opinion at all. What I'm saying is, this excites me to see what direction they are going to go in, because there's a lot of unknown, and I like the unknown. That intrigues me. Now, a lot of people want to know everything. They want to know what kind of ice cream they're going to get before they get the ice cream. They want to know, what hotel room are we staying in? Can we just hurry? Like, everybody's impatient. I get it. But I like the unknown here. I like the unknown. As Frozen we stare too. To the abyss.
There you go.
As
I'd
we
stare to the
abyss.
Sox.
No. As we stare
like
to the abyss.
Box.
And they're 20-20. And we've been through this roller coaster before. I grew up an OG Warrior fan. I know what losing is like. All right? So all of a sudden, Dave's got a little hairy and everybody wants to jump. Oh, let's get off the boat. There's no water in the boat yet, folks. Relax. 42 games left. Just relax. Everybody just chill for a second.
It is getting late early, though.
No, it's not getting late early. They're in the box right now. They're not out of the box. They're in the box right now.
The last
Capri
time they were in the box, they got beheaded.
Yeah, they did. That was last time. So this was
saying out loud, Shasky and I. That we both believe this team could make a deep run to the playoffs.
Absolutely. I feel like we're falling. I'm not trying to poo-poo. It does feel like there's a little banana in the tailpipe stuff going on.
No, there's not any, but you're not listening. I'm saying, I don't know where this team is going to go. I don't know what direction they're going to go in. I don't know what they're going to do at the deadline. But the fact is that there's an unknown out there intrigues me.
So this
we're
going to
find out very soon. Huh?
It's an inner tube season.
Maybe.
You just get in the inner tube and you see where the current of the river takes you.
I'm there.
Okay.
I'm there. Patience and Mike Dunleavy. Does anybody trust Mike Dunleavy to make the right move? Where are we at with Dunleavy? Where are we at right now? Let's go to Film on Mike. I want some positive. I know Film on Mike's going to be positive here. Film on Mike. Doesn't this intrigue you? Don't you love to just roll up your sleeves, get down and dirty, and see what this adverse situation can take us?
No, seriously. I mean, you have to. I mean, sports is the ultimate thing because things crazy happen. True story. Y'all remember this. We Believe season. Don Nelson, Chicago, lost the game. He quote-unquote threw in the towel. Oh, we don't have it. I don't know. I thought I had a lot of expectations for this team. That's what happened with the Warriors a couple of days ago. Kind of like, you hit a reset. But no, I feel like this could be We Believe too. Y'all just got to believe, man. You can't, the nervous energy, you know how they play? Like, this is what they did last night. They didn't play to lose. They finally played to win. They made a couple of bonehead mistakes, but for the most part, they were playing to win, and that's what I see. That's what I saw. The last couple of games that they blew the leads, you could play to win. Let's make winning plays, or you could play to lose, and you could just let the other team just.
Yep.
It seemed like every time the Warriors, like, everything bad happens to the Warriors. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Raptors come in, and they beat us. And it's like, because we're playing to lose, we're not playing to win. Play to your strengths. Play within the margins. We don't have KD and Klay Thompson and Draymond and their primes. Play within the margins.
But Mike,
you have to make the hustle plays. Yes, sir.
Mike, even you would admit the whole inbounding sequence was, oh boy, at the end of that game.
Oh, yeah, that was horrible. I was surprised Moody didn't come to a jump stop before he. So I was very surprised. Moody's usually a lot more heady than that.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. So that was crazy. That was the time when you need Draymond Green. Draymond Green would have made the right decision, but
Draymond's probably inbounding the ball.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We got the win. We got the W. We can't complain. But remember, We Believe kicked off by Don Nelson throwing in the towel in Chicago. That's a true story.
Mm-hmm.
Google it.
There it is.
I don't need to
Come
Google
on,
it.
Mike.
I'll bring in old man Steiny to tell me those tales.
He could do that from 10 to 2. This is
Yay!
Our show. Don't you come in here and crash our party that we're having on the morning roast, Matthew Steinmetz.
We believe 2.0 like 15 or 20 minutes,
strong.
Though.
We don't like to come up for air on this show.
You know, part of the We Believe was like they had not made the playoffs and didn't have an all-star for so long. And then you had Mike Montgomery. I mean, I was one of the people like, might as well. Let's just see Mike Montgomery. Like, let's see. Like, can't get any worse, right? Were you kind of open-minded to Montgomery before Nelly? I never was some Mike Montgomery stan. I'm just saying,
I like him personally, yeah. But I was very skeptical of Mike Montgomery being the coach of the Warriors.
Look,
very skeptical.
Bonte, at that point in my Warrior fandom, anything was better than what we were watching. Yeah. You know, I mean, hey, look, I'm one of the people that like, hey, let's give Keith Smart a chance. You know what I mean? Like, that's after Nelly, obviously. But, I mean, that's a stretch to say we believe 2.0. But I understand the sentiment.
I understand it, too. Warriors going to win last night, made all the winning plays. I thought they came out just on fire. And the patience from the others to allow Stephen Curry to come off multiple screens. You saw him run the split action a lot yesterday. You saw him come off of screens, the patient level, for whatever reason. Minnesota would just fall asleep on Stephen Curry. Now he hit a great step back over Rudy Gobert in the fourth quarter that kind of stabilized the game to turn it to 71-61 midway through the third quarter when Minnesota was living at the free throw line. But the Warriors, for them to withstand all those free throws, Minnesota shot 20 free throws in the third quarter, folks, as it became a foul fest. But to be able to withstand run after run after run after run, you hope. The hope is that you could build off this game, beating the Minnesota Timberwolves team for the third time. But I want to hear your Josh Giddey take, because Josh Giddey...
It wasn't mine.
No, Leroy's, but you have some thoughts on Josh Giddey.
Well, no, I think it's an interesting idea. I don't know... Look, am I watching Chicago Bulls games? No. When he was in OKC and you watched him, clearly the guy can't shoot. So that's not the greatest thing in the world. Do I need a non-shooter on the floor? Not really. As a player off the bench, though, and I don't know if he's willing to accept something like this at this point.
No,
I don't even know what his value is, because he's going to be a restricted free agent. I don't know how teams view him. I wouldn't want to give him $20 or $25 million a year, but he does remind me of Livingston in the sense that he's a bigger player who's a good ball handler, who can kind of facilitate the offense, but you kind of have Pods, and who knows if he's coming back. I like Giddey better than Pods, but... I think Giddey views himself different than the role that I would put him in. I don't see him as a shooting guard.
Yeah.
That's not how I view him. I see him as a bigger point forward, point guard, where he could combo guard, defend some of the bigger guards, but offensively, he's kind of a facilitator in the half court. I do think he rebounds well. I do think he has great floor vision, but like shooting is not his thing. So I get Leroy's like throwing that out there, but I don't like, you're going to bring him in, then he's a restricted free agent. You got to make a decision on him. What's his value? I don't want him as a starter. I think he's a backup. Like, I have more questions than answers.
Oklahoma City traded him because they started playing him off the bench last year during a playoff run, and I don't think he was a big fan of that. So they came together, and they all agreed maybe a change of scenery was the best for him, because there was some baggage off the floor, some situations with Josh Giddey. But I guess it all got worked out. So he's playing right now. He played 80 games last year, but he started coming off the bench in the playoffs because teams left him open, and he couldn't make an outside shot. This year, more to save, 32.5% for the three-point line, and he turns the ball over nearly three times a game. But you look at his numbers, he's getting about 11.5, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. If there's anybody on that Bulls team that I like, I'm not sure Josh Giddey's the fit. Although he can play .5 basketball, it'd be very intriguing. How's his defense? Can he play defense next to Steph? Would he want to come off the bench? That was an issue in Oklahoma City again, and he was playing with SGA and all his young buddies. So I don't know if he would be willing to do that, nor will he be. I think he'd be able to play with Steph, but as a starter, I don't know how that looks in the backcourt.
So you're in alignment with me.
And so if we're going to talk about the Bulls, it starts with Vuk.
Well, yes.
And then I'm looking at LaVine, and I'm trying to, and I know they're not going to trade Coby White, but can I get a Coby White with that deal, that contract that he signed? I love a Coby White and Vuk, no doubt about that. But these are the moves that we're talking about here. You're not going to make some sweet, like, by the way, is anybody off the Jimmy Butler trade talk? I haven't heard Jimmy Butler's name around here in a while. Has that ship sailed?
I'm not going to lie, I'm still intrigued. Doesn't mean I do the deal. I want to know what the deal is, but I'm not going to lie to you and say that it's dead. But in my mind, it's still in the back there.
Right.
Like, there are combinations of players, why would Miami take some of these guys? But there are combinations of players where I would take Jimmy Butler in a heartbeat. But the problem is like, okay, Jimmy plays nice for a month, 2 months, and then what happens when he finds out you don't want to sign him long term?
Yeah.
Exactly. Then you have a similar situation to what you have in Miami.
Exactly.
And then you're losing that money and free agency, and there's just so many questions.
Steph Curry, after the game last night, when he was answering Anthony Slater's question, because there's a lot of rhetoric about the team as they did go out there in Minnesota, hang off for dear life. He scored the first 13 points of the game. Great ball movement. Schroeder got an open three in there. Buddy Hield came off the bench and was boom, 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 was lighting it up.
Thank God he hit his first 3-ball.
Oh, yeah.
Bob Fitzgerald said he was 20 of his last 80.
Yeah, he was shooting 29% from three since December 12th. 29% since December 12th. So He got his game going yesterday, which is good. And they hug off for dear life, making all the winning plays. A great offensive rebound by Andrew Wiggins after GP2 split his free throws. But here's Steph Curry. And I want to know what this message means to everybody out there at Dub Nation. 888-957-9570 is the number. Here's what Steph Curry said. If anybody believes that he's fine with just being mediocre.
Anybody who thinks that I'm okay with just being an average basketball on an average basketball team is insane. Take whatever I said, I still stand on it, but that doesn't mean that you're not in a situation where you're trying to get better, make appropriate moves that help you do that. Mike knows that. We've talked about it. That's the expectation for me, trying to help lead the team where we want to go. Again, that doesn't mean that you're reckless. What people's definition of that is where I was talking about the Twitter fingers thing. Like, trade machines are fun, but what does that actually look like? So we're going to handle our business. Mike's gonna handle his. See where we end up.
How'd you interpret that?
I interpreted it as him, you know, addressing the elephant in the room, which is all of the stuff that him and Steve and Draymond have said over the last couple of days were fodder for everyone to speculate, fair or not. And that's what we do, you know. And I've never heard Steve, Dre, or Steph talk about the future of the organization beyond themselves ever. Outside of like a GQ magazine, like, we want to leave right. The organization in a better place as you're doing like a, you know, 6,000 word diatribe on an individual in their prime. But like, yeah, it was interesting. But the other part of this is like, they are still trying to make the team better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I also think that they're kind of like us in that if you don't think they're thinking about who they want on their team and who they want gone, what everyone does.
That's what everybody does.
You know, you do it in any job. Of course. You work on any job site in America and people are like, get that guy out of here. Get this guy in. I wish I was working over here. Man, I wish I had that dude. I wish I had him as a boss. Like, that's what people do in every profession.
650, if the Warriors bring in Giddey, I swear I will stop being a Warriors fan. Nobody said bring Josh Giddey in. That's not the move I would make. He's an okay player. But that's not the move I would make right now. It's not something that I think the Warriors necessarily need because I'm not sure about his finishing. I'm not sure about his I'm okay on Josh Giddey. Like, OKC gave up on him for a reason, right? That's a pretty good team and a pretty good organization right now under Sam Presti. I think they know what they're doing in Oklahoma City, and they made the move to just flip him for Alex Caruso, and you see where their record is at. They're up 5.5-6 games in the Western Conference, so... But nobody said that they ran on Josh Giddey. Leroy asked a question about Josh Giddey. I'm personally out on Josh Giddey. So that's where that is. 5-0, Curry was 100% talking to some people at 95.7 the game. Who the hell knows who he was talking to?
Maybe.
I'll let him find out. I'll let him know.
Maybe next time you can put our names on it. That'd be cool.
Nah, I prefer.
It's a joke. It's a joke.
I don't want my name on anything. I don't need any strays here. Our boy Ray Scarbosio. Big Ray, what up, Ray? Here's a question for us, Shasky. Everyone keeps throwing names out and how well they're doing somewhere else. But how do you know that they will perform the same with the Golden State Warriors? So much of this is just a crapshoot. As a fan, this is tough to watch, but like, what do you guys keep saying? It's so true. Who's out there that you don't have to give everything up for who will really make a difference? And to his point about, yeah, somebody may be balling somewhere else, but how would they perform here? Exhibit A, Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
Dennis Schroeder was averaging a career high all across the board in Brooklyn. He comes here to a new system, a new city, all the way on the opposite coast, and it's been a struggle for him offensively, trying to figure out how to play with Stephen Curry and Draymond Green and a unique movement that the Warriors use on offense. It's been an adjustment, and it hasn't gone well, so I'm with you, Ray. Just because you bring somebody in doesn't mean it's going to work. You got to adjust to the system, and it may take you a while. And then, if it takes you a while, it may be too late. You're playing for juice boxes in the play-in tournament, trying to get a best of seven series in.
Yeah, and I think the hard part of juggling is that people see this team, and they see a team that's not a playoff team. At least I think a lot of Warrior fans don't see this as a playoff team. And a signal of no move feels like, not that they gave up, but it's like, we tried. And it just feels like after every offseason and every deadline for multiple seasons now, the we tried is kind of running thin.
So what do people want to see at the deadline?
They want to get another bid.
What if the Warriors, let's just say February 6th, noon Pacific time, it comes across the ticker that the Warriors did not make a move. Are people going to be that irate? Or are you going to try to sit back and say, you know what? Maybe there just wasn't a move out there.
Irate.
Are you buying that? Disappointed?
Disappointed would be the word I would use. Irate is like, you know, I reserve that for something else. But disappointed.
Which is what, now I got to know.
I'd be disappointed.
I reserve that for, now I want to know.
What do you mean?
Would you say you reserve that for something else?
Well, it depends on what that something else is, right. You know? I mean, I don't know what it is. You know,
is it a big game?
Anything can make you irate. It just depends on, you know, when and where. It's called Falling Down. Haven't you seen the movie? But I'd be disappointed. Because I think this team could at least sneak into the playoffs. And sneaking into the playoffs would be a successful season for me. That was my setting before the season started, and that's my setting now. As frustrating as the oscillation back and forth between being decent and awful, it's make a move. Make yourself a little bit better. Get into the tournament and see where it goes.
All right. Let's go to Jacob in Castro Valley. Jacob, what's happening, man? Long time no see since the Doobie Awards. Freestyle of the year 2024. Jacob in Castro Valley. What up?
Hey, good to be talking to you guys this morning. Had a little vacation beginning of the year. But glad to be talking some dubs. You know, I don't know. You guys are talking about trusting Dunleavy. I think it's a very small sample size. And he obviously thinks we can make something work with the players we have. He just wants to make trades for little fill-in pieces here and there. But I know who I do trust is Steve Kerr, and I trust Steph. They're both champions. You know, Steph has 4 rings. Kerr has 3 rings as a player, 4 rings as a coach, and an Olympic gold medal. So if they think they can make it work, I mean, we just kind of got to see and see what happens. Health has been an issue. So when we've been healthy, we've looked strong. D'Anthony Melton was great. I miss that dude. He was a true 3-and-D. But when Wiggins is out and Draymond is out and Kuminga's out and Steph is out all at different times, it's going to be shaky. You know, and like you were talking about Schroeder, he's got to adapt to the system. We don't really know exactly how he fits in yet, but I feel like he's been fitting in better lately. So he's just got to get used to the X's and O's. But I don't really think we necessarily need some trades at this point. If they do, I don't really think it should be any big ones. I think it should be little fill-in pieces, you know. But wait to see when Pajemski's back and Kuminga's back and everybody's healthy, when Draymond's back. You might be surprised at what this team can do. Warriors have always played small ball, so we just got to see what happens.
All right, we got optimism. Optimism.
Have they missed Pajemski, you think? A lot?
It's a great question. They do need another ball handler. There's no doubt about that. But I think this rest is good for Pajemski. I don't know if they necessarily missed him. Now, they haven't won a lot of games. They're now 8-17 in their last 25.
Even when he's playing poorly, he brings energy.
Exactly. And, he struggled this year. There's no doubt about it with his shot, with the decision-making, with some of the turnovers. So I'm eager to see what happens when he gets back. What is his adjustment? What is his adjustment when he gets back from the right abdominal injury, which we have no update on, and we don't know when he's coming back. But I'm looking for positive Warrior fans, Chasky. I think I got one in Allen, San Francisco.
Okay.
Allen, San Francisco is optimistic, right, Al?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, thank you for having me on. That was a really good game last night. And as we know, when Buddy Hield scores 18 or more, they win. So they won by 1 point. I was really impressed about Wiggins. He came up and scored, I think, 20-something points, Curry 30-something. And that's what they need. And I think when Kuminga comes back with Wiggins as a forward and Curry and Hield and also Draymond Green, I think they can make a run, move up to, like, 5 or 6 and maybe get in the play-in. So get in the playoff. With Kuminga back, they should be very powerful. So thank you very much. That's all I have to say.
Al's optimistic. Who shares that optimism with Al? 888-957-9570 is the number. 888-957-9570 is the number. But it's crazy. What a difference a month makes, Shasky. A lot of people miss Kuminga, which I didn't have on my bingo card a month ago.
Well, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder, but they miss his athleticism dramatically. And everybody wants to point out all the things he doesn't do and ignore all the things he does do. And it drives me crazy. You know that. Drives me absolutely bonkers. And so, yeah, they miss Kuminga so much. Just a variety of getting to the lane, attacking. I think he's been a better rebounder. I feel like his shot selection has been significantly better.
getting a bucket and just getting out of the way. Everyone get out of the way. ISO, let me get downhill. Getting fouls. He stops the game. He gives their defense an opportunity to set themselves up because he goes to the free throw line a lot.
Yep.
Does he need to shoot free throws better? Yes.
Yep.
You know? But I think he was ascending. And if you look at some of the games that he finished, he was closing really well as a scorer.
Mm-hmm.
And they were running that high pick and roll with him and Steph late in games. Finally, I mean, we only got a small glimpse of it, but you could kind of see where maybe this could evolve into something special.
No doubt about it. No doubt. 888-957-9570 is the number, but we're going to do something a little fun here right before the 9 o'clock hour. And I want Lubby to come in here and set this up because I believe it was his idea. He wanted to bring something to the table. So, Lubby. The mic is yours. The floor is yours.
Yeah, well, thank you there, Bonte. Yeah, so I had this thought the other day. So, like, you guys know how, like, AI is basically, like, taking over the world, right?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious, you know, if AI is going to rule the world, like, I want to know how good our future overlord in AI is when it comes to their sports takes. So just over the weekend, I decided to, you know, through ChatGPT, which uses AI, just throw the AI a couple sports questions and just kind of, you know, take the temperature of how it feels about a bunch of Bay Area sports topics. So the first thing I asked AI is, you know, obviously we're talking trades for the Warriors and who could be moved, Draymond Green. So I asked AI, should the Warriors trade Draymond Green? And here's what the artificial intelligence had to say on that.
As of now, Draymond remains crucial to the Warriors' identity and championship aspirations. His defensive leadership, playmaking, and experience make him an invaluable piece for continued success. Trading him would risk destabilizing the team's core and diminishing their ability to compete at the highest level.
So there you go. That's what the AI sounds like, by the way. That's the robotic voice.
I didn't know Clutch developed AI.
Wow, that's ChatGPT, baby. Know more about basketball than all of us.
Yeah, he was shocked I was talking to it.
Draymond Green.
Shocked you talking to me.
I don't really understand AI, quite frankly. So you just Google AI and then type these things into AI?
Well, I use ChatGPT, which uses artificial intelligence to generate its responses. So it's be able to, you know, it checks the data and it comes up with its own opinion. And that's how, you know, it decides that Draymond Green is a key integral piece for the Warriors culture and bringing
up
this
is basically players. Like in Superman 3 with Richard Pryor. This is like a supercomputer.
Yeah, basically.
Just for the uninitiated.
I'm surprised you don't know much about AI, considering how much time you spend online.
What is that supposed to mean?
That AI, that you don't know much about AI. I'm a little surprised.
I just kind of, you know, all the sci-fi movies I've watched, you get a little too close